Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Exodus, met Chris. In fact, I wanted to say this because 2 years ago today, I was lying in hospital. And I actually met Chris, I think, properly for the first time in the emergency ward at Maroondah Hospital. And I was lying there with a neck brace around my neck, and his head popped over. G'day, Mike. Oh, g'day, Chris. And I'd had a bad bike accident. And this is actually not what I'm preaching on this morning, but I just feel to say it, is that I had a really serious bike accident. In fact, potentially, I should not be here, maybe. Or I should be in a wheelchair. I hit a car on my push bike at 50 k's an hour. I will say it wasn't my fault, but that's not the point. But it wasn't a great thing, and I ended up in hospital. That's where we first met Chris. And I only got a fractured vertebrae. You might think, well, that's fairly serious in itself. Yes, it is. A fractured vertebrae is not a good thing to do. But it should have been a lot, lot worse. So the name of Jesus does heal. The name of Jesus does protect. And I've actually seen the video clip numerous times. I'll tell you why. Because the car behind the car which caused that accident had a GoPro on it. And he stopped. And in fact, the police used it for evidence. But I've watched the video many, many times. And you look at it and you go, my goodness me, God, all I got was a fractured vertebrae. And that healed up fairly quickly. In fact, apparently it's stronger than it ever has been because of the way the body heals. It's taken a while for my body to recover physically in terms of the damage of the muscles and the nerves. But God protected in a way I'm very appreciative that I can stand here today saying, Jesus, you are the healer. And that's, in fact, what I'm talking about this morning. Though I have a suspicion that the word this morning has already answered half of my sermon. Thank you for that word this morning, because I'm talking about who is Jesus. And I've got a question for you. As you know, I'm a teacher, so I do ask a lot of questions. So it's part of my job. If I asked you to give me a 25-word or less summation of who do you think Jesus is, what would you say? What would be your answer? You've only got 25 words or less. Over the years, many people have said he's the Messiah. Many say he isn't the Messiah. Some say he was a prophet. Some say he was simply a good man who did good things. Others say he was simply a fictional character in a fictitious book. Many have believed and still believe in Jesus, but many don't. In many ways, you could probably say Jesus has been one of the most controversial figures the world has ever seen. He's challenged everything. Interesting thing is, Jesus asked this exact question to his disciples. He said, who do you say I am? Who do people say I am? It says in Matthew 16, verse 13 to 17, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you, he asked? Who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but my Father in heaven. Peter's answer is actually incredibly significant. For him to be able to say, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God, was incredibly significant. And just to put it in context, the reason for it is this. The Jews had been waiting for hundreds of years for a prophesied or promised Messiah. They knew in the Old Testament that God had promised a Messiah was coming. They knew that a future Jewish king would descend from the David line, down the Davidic line, who would be anointed to rule the Jewish people. He would finally fulfill the prophecies of the Old Testament, like in Isaiah and Ezekiel. He would return the Jews to their homeland. He would rebuild the temple once and for all. He would usher in an era of peace. And ultimately, he would redeem the Jews. Interesting though, even though Jesus had now come, even though he was now preaching about the kingdom of God with an authority and an understanding no one had ever heard before, even though he was actually ministering with significant miracles of healing, of deliverance, even raising people from the dead, they were still not believing that Jesus was the promised Messiah. I used to often think when I was younger going, how could they not? He was a man healing people they'd never seen before. He was a man who actually raised someone from the dead. And yet they couldn't believe this was Jesus. A perfect example of this is actually in the same chapter in verses 1 to 4. And it says in Matthew 16, 1-4, the Pharisees and Sadducees, and just to maybe explain a little bit about who the Pharisees and Sadducees were, if I've got my Jewish history correct, there was three main Jewish groups. We could maybe call them clans or groups of people. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, and I think the other one's pronounced Essenes. I think that's how you pronounce it. The Pharisees and the Sadducees were the major two groups of people. The Essenes were not as significant or as big as the previous two. Though, interesting enough, it's that third group which decided to put some writings away into a cave. And one day, a shepherd boy found those writings in that cave. You and I know them as the Dead Sea Scrolls. They're the ones responsible for that. But the Pharisees and Sadducees actually, even though they were Jewish together, they actually had quite a few different theological views and political views. But they had to actually work together within the council of the Sanhedrin. So they came to Jesus one day, as they did numerous times, and tested him by asking him to show them a sign from heaven. He replied, "When evening comes, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning today it will be stormy, for the sky is red and overcast." I learnt that in Scouts. Red sky at night, sailors... No, red sky at night, shepherd's delight. Red sky in the morning, sailor's warning. I thought my scoutmaster made that up, actually. "You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation looks for a sign, but none will be given except the sign of Jonah." Jesus then left them and went away. So they could interpret the signs of the times, what they could see physically, but they couldn't actually interpret who Jesus was. He wasn't what they were expecting. But Peter, as we know, said, "But you are the Christ, the Messiah." But it's important to understand this. He could answer that question not because of the miracles he saw of Jesus. In fact, Jesus healed his mother-in-law in Matthew 8, 14-15. So he saw directly Jesus ministering and saw the healings taking place. But that wasn't what revealed the truth of who Jesus was to him. He heard the teachings of Jesus on numerous occasions, and yet that still wasn't necessarily revealing the truth of who Jesus was or is. He was also called, as we know, to be Jesus' disciple, or one of them. But what actually revealed the truth of who Jesus was to Peter? We go back to verses 15 and 17. And it says, "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, and this is the point I want to particularly talk about this morning. "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but my Father in heaven." Peter realized who Jesus was, not from the miracles, not from the teachings, but because the Heavenly Father revealed the truth to him in his heart. And the reality is that same revelation is needed today for us. We still need our Heavenly Father revealing the truth of who Jesus is through the power of his Holy Spirit. True revelation can only come through the empowerment and revelation of the truth of Jesus through his Holy Spirit. And we need that same revelation today just as much as what the first century Christians needed as well. It's no different today. We've already had the revelation of Jesus as our Lord and Saviour. That's why we're sitting here this morning. We've already seen that truth. But we need to see that Jesus is not just simply Lord and Saviour. We need to see everything that Jesus is to us as a New Testament Christian. He is our Lord and Saviour, but that's just the beginning. There is so much more to Jesus than just simply Lord and Saviour. And that's not minimising that. It's probably the most significant thing of all. Because we know through him, we will spend eternity with God. But there's so much more to the name of Jesus than just salvation. And we need this revelation not just as a once-off experience. We need to get this revelation of Jesus through the Holy Spirit daily. We constantly need the Holy Spirit to be speaking to us and revealing the truth of God's word to us. I'm not sure where I heard this saying, but it's so true. It's through the revelation of the Holy Spirit that the Bible changes from being a book of information to a book of revelation. We can learn so much, obviously we do, through the word of God. We know that. But we need the Holy Spirit to mix that information with revelation. And when he does, our lives will and do change. Because the information doesn't get just up here, it then gets down into here. And once it gets into the heart and into the spirit of who we are as a people, we will always change. We can't help but. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. So I said at the start of my message, how would you surmise who Jesus is? But another question I have for you, how do you know this? How did you know what you could say? How did you know the truth of that? I suspect I could probably answer that for you. You know this because the truth has been revealed to you by the Holy Spirit already. You've already been convicted and challenged that you need to be right with God. But like I said a minute ago, Jesus wants to continue to reveal the truth of who he is. Not just as Lord and Saviour, but everything else as well. Our salvation is only the beginning of who we are as Christians. Now, this is not going to be an exhaustive list, but who is Jesus? We had a great word this morning, which I said before, really summarised what I'm saying. But Jesus is our Lord. Jesus is our Saviour. Jesus is the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And that's the truth. There is no other way to salvation. There is no other way we can come before God except Jesus and Jesus alone. Jesus is the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Jesus is the King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. Jesus is the same yesterday, today and forever. He will never change. And because he never changes, his word will never change. Jesus is the head of the church. He is the one we have to keep our focus on as the church. We're building not our church, we're building his church. I don't want to get controversial, but sometimes I think we forget that. I'm just talking generally, not necessarily us as a church, but just the church. Sometimes I think we forget that we're not building man's church. We're building God's church, Jesus' church. It's not about us. It's about him. Jesus is going to return in glory for his church one day. One day we will see Jesus come. I have to admit, I'm really hanging out for one sense too, because Michael, the archangel blows his trumpet. I always said trumpet's the most holy instrument of them all. Sorry, Andy. It's scriptural. I can't change that. Is that okay, mate? But no, he is going to return for his glory. And what a day that is going to be. Jesus is the creator. Jesus is our rest. I've said this before, and just this Christmas holidays, God really started to speak to me about, Mike, rest in me. And I've never really understood that, but God, through the Holy Spirit, started to show me what it means to rest in God. I'm still getting better at it. But through the Holy Spirit, he showed me why I sometimes struggle to rest in God. Jesus is our healer. That's why I said before about my accident. It should have been far, far worse than could have been. Jesus is our provider. Jesus is the one who gives us the fullness of God and empowers us. In Jude 24 and 25, he says the following. I love this scripture. You've all heard it before, I'm sure. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty and power and authority through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Before all ages, now and forevermore. That's who Jesus is. So why do we need the Holy Spirit? Let's go back to this. Why do we need the Holy Spirit then in our lives? 1 Corinthians 2 verses 10 to 16 says the following. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of this world, but the spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. That's how Peter could declare who Jesus was. He was not taught by human wisdom. It was not revealed through human teaching. It was taught, revealed to him through the Spirit, explaining the truth of who Jesus is and was. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So why do we need the Spirit? Why did Jesus send his Holy Spirit? So that we could understand freely everything God has given us, because the Spirit knows the thoughts of the Heavenly Father. The Spirit will teach us the realities of the things of God with Spirit-taught words. It's only through the Spirit that we can discern these truths. You can read the Word of God every day, but unless the Spirit comes and makes the words alive, you're just filling your head with knowledge. Knowledge is good, but we need the Spirit to turn it into revelation. We need the Spirit, like I said before, to take it from up here and place it in here. But let's be honest, it takes time. We're human. We still trip up. We still stumble. But God knows that. And the amazing thing is, and you know this already, this Spirit doesn't dwell now in the Spirit in the tabernacle, the Holy of Holies. This Holy Spirit now comes and dwells within the lives of every believer. And Jesus prophesied this in John 14:15-17. If you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. He will give you the Holy Spirit, in other words, to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. That's what the Holy Spirit is, the Spirit of truth. He will come and reveal only the truth of Jesus. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, and this is the prophetic part Jesus was saying, for he lives with you and will be in you. But now we can change that and say, for he lives with us and does live in us. Like I said, the Holy Spirit no longer resides in the Holy of Holies, in the tabernacle, where the high priest could only go in a certain time of the year. The Holy Spirit now dwells within you and me every day. The same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. The same Holy Spirit that created the heavens and the earth lives in you. The same Holy Spirit that empowered Jesus to do the things he needed to do to bring God's kingdom down to earth lives in you. There's no difference. It hasn't changed. It's through that revelation that we can now say, who do we say Jesus is? We get it through the Holy Spirit. Alan Meyer preached a great series of messages in January. I missed the first one, but the second and third I got to listen to. And he talked about this exact thing. Who do you say Jesus is? Can I encourage you, if you haven't heard those sermons, get them on the podcast. Graham right now is in the middle of preaching a series on pressing to Jesus more. We'll press into Jesus more and more as we allow the Holy Spirit to come and reveal the truth of who he is to us. So I've got another question for you. It might sound like a funny question to ask, but how do you interact with the Holy Spirit right now? I'll tell you why I'm asking this question. I had an experience a number of years ago. I used to work at Liddell High School. That's where I first started teaching. And we were asked to bring a group of musicians into the Australian Kidney Foundation's Thanksgiving service. I think once a year they would have a service to recognise and honour those who donated kidneys to people who needed it. So I went in one year with a group of musos, and we went into a very large church in the city, a very old church, a very grand, big church. And about 15 minutes before the service started, as I was sitting there, I asked God a question. And I say it respect to the church. I wasn't trying to be negative. But I said, God, is your spirit in a place like this? I'm not trying, as I said, to put the church down. It was just that as I sat there, even within the grandeur, it felt empty. It felt like there was something missing. You might think, like, what's a very funny question to ask, is God's spirit there? Of course it is. We know God's spirit is everywhere. The Bible says, where can you hide from it? You can't. In some ways, I think it was almost like a throwaway question as I sat there killing time. But what happened was, I didn't expect to get the answer I got. Literally, the moment I asked the question, I felt the Holy Spirit speak to me. I felt God say this to me. It was one of those experiences I've never forgotten. I'm sure many of you can relate to things like that, when God really speaks something and you've never forget it. And I felt God say this to me. Yes, my Holy Spirit's here. It's sitting in that pew over there because that's all I'll let him do. And I said, whoa, goodness me, where did that come from? It shocked me. I'll say again what I felt God say. Yes, my Holy Spirit is here. It's sitting in that pew over there because that's all I'll let him do. In other words, the Holy Spirit can only spectate and not participate. And that's not why God sent his Spirit. God didn't send his Holy Spirit to us in our lives, in the life of the church, to be a spectator. God sent his Spirit to be a participator in our lives each and every day. And we must not let the expression of the Holy Spirit in either our own lives or in the lives of the church become one of spectating. We need the Holy Spirit to be active and real and speaking to us. In the same way, I feel to say we must not let the role or the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in our lives and lives of the church be diminished. We must not put it to the side and say, Holy Spirit, you go and sit over here and we'll call on you when we need you. That's not what it's about. I'll go even further and say, I don't believe we must not allow the desire to be culturally relevant or to make the expression of church relevant to what we think society wants by diminishing or pushing aside the expression of the Holy Spirit, both in the church or in our lives. We must not say, once again, Holy Spirit, we're a bit embarrassed about what might happen. We're a bit scared what you might do. Maybe that's not going to be what someone feels comfortable with. So let's keep you over here. No, God doesn't want that. He wants the Holy Spirit to be active and working in the expression of the church in our lives each and every day. I know I'm repeating myself a lot this morning. It's probably my teacher coming out, but it's because that's what the message God is wanting me to challenge us all with. The Holy Spirit is not a spectator. The Holy Spirit is a participator. If we as a church want to fulfill the calling God has placed on this church, it's only going to be through the power of the Holy Spirit. We can have every bell and whistle working in this church on a Sunday morning in our worship, and that's all great, but without the Holy Spirit, we might as well go home. It's not what we do that will bring people to Christ, it's what Jesus does through us through his Holy Spirit. That's the only way people will come to know Jesus, as the Holy Spirit draws them to him through you and through me. It's not how high skilled we are on our instruments. It's not how good we preach. Though it's all those things that can be used and can be effective. But it's through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit on those things that will impact this nation. In Acts 2, 17 to 21, I'm sure you know this scripture very well as well. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit on those days and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. Blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. What an incredible portion of scripture. The new covenant was now completed. Why Jesus came to the cross to die on the cross and rose again was fulfilled in Acts, when God poured out his spirit on his church. God didn't hold back when he poured out his Spirit. He didn't say, right, I'll give you 50% of it, but I'm going to keep 50% of it for me because I'm not sure how you're going to go with it. He poured everything out. In fact, the Greek word for pour, I'm not going to pronounce this too well, is ekeko. It means to pour out, fairly logical. But it's derived from the Greek word ek, which means abundant. Abundance, abundantly, or to abound. So in other words, God says, I will abundantly pour out my Spirit on all people. I will pour out my Spirits with abundance, abundantly, to abound within the lives of the people. It wasn't just a small portion. It was everything of God. There was no varying proportions of the Holy Spirit poured out on people. He didn't pour it out depending on your age. He didn't pour it out depending on whether you're male or female, based on your giftings or your responsibilities or your culture. He poured it out on all of humanity. This is just as relevant for our young people as it is for our older people. And it's happening in our young people. In fact, isn't there a balloon floating around, Nick? There's a balloon floating around somewhere in church. Is that over there? If I've got my facts right, I think they're going to... Where's Nick? Has she gone down, has she? I think every time someone gives their life to Jesus this year, they're going to put an inflatable balloon and have it up in the church. There's one hanging up there now from Friday night. So this is happening in the lives of our young people just as much as God wants it to happen in the lives of all people. This can happen in the lives of our youngest kids to our oldest person. God didn't differentiate. He didn't just pour out his Holy Spirit for the first century church. I've actually heard people say, oh, what we read about in Acts was only for that time. It doesn't happen anymore. And I had to respectfully disagree with them and say, I can't agree with that. I'll tell you why. My answer is always this. Show me in the Bible where it says that and then I'll believe you. I have not yet found a scripture yet where it says, in the last days I'll pour out my Spirit just for a certain period of time. It says, in my last days, I will pour out my Spirit, full stop. We don't need to be praying God for the next outpouring of the Holy Spirit on this nation. God has already poured out his Spirit upon this nation. What we need to be doing is getting on hands and knees and saying, God, through us, let your Holy Spirit speak to this nation. Let us be the hands and the feet of Jesus through us. Let us be the voice piece of God to this nation once again, loud and clear. It will be challenged, absolutely. But we have the victory already. So important was that experience of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said to wait in Jerusalem before they go out. What an amazing time we live in as a new century, as a new covenant church. The Holy Spirit dwells within the life of each person sitting here right now if you call Jesus your Lord and Saviour. And like I said before, that same Holy Spirit which raised Jesus from the dead and does all the things we've read about lives and dwells within the life of every believer. No exception. You can't sit there and say, oh, I don't deserve this, because you're right, you don't deserve it. None of us deserve it. We deserve it only because God's grace was extended to us. Don't ever say, I can't do that. Yes, you can. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There was a period of time where the idea of me standing in front of a church and speaking would terrify me. It's only because God says, no, Mike, go and do it. I will empower you to do it, that I'll go and do it. There's people sitting here this morning, I believe, that gifts are going to start to rise up within you again. And God wants that to rise up within you. Every person here has gifts which God has given you freely. He wants you to express those gifts, not just in the life of this church, but in everyday life. How? Through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit empowers you to prophesy. The Holy Spirit empowers you to lay their hands on the sick and for them to recover. The Holy Spirit empowers you to speak the word of God over someone's life in maybe just a simple way, and that person can and will be impacted. And I pray that we as a church will always and never forget that. It's been prophesied over the last few years through a few people that we are in a new season where God is raising up a new standard within us as a church. Even the term a new wine into a new wineskin. This is the time right now. And he wants us all to participate in it. I know I've said this before. Ken, I know you're here because I met you at the start of the service. Ken, I want to give you, actually for the older generation, I've had this for ages and I've never had a chance to share it, but I think it's totally relevant to what I'm saying this morning. Ken, I saw you standing. Where is Ken? Oh, there he is. Thanks, mate. I saw you standing with all the older generation because you lead them, as I understand, and you went down to the beach. And I saw you walking out into the water and everyone else watching you. And you turned around to them and you said, come on, come on, come in. This is really awesome. Come and join me. And so they all did. They all walked in with you. And as you stood in the water was lapping up around about here. I saw this wave come in. Now, have you ever been to the surf beach? I saw it once and the big wave comes in and wipes everybody out. I actually find it quite amusing. It's happened to me. I do, but it's happened to me too, so it's okay. But as I saw this wave coming in, it wasn't the wave of water. God said it's the wave of the Holy Spirit coming. And I feel God wanted to say to you, excuse me, to the older generation, you're not to spectate. The baton may have passed in leadership. I've said this to you guys before. It may have passed in leadership, but not in responsibility of still being a part of what God wants to do. And I feel to prophesy that over all the older generation, the way of the Holy Spirit will come and will refresh you again to still be active and alive with the power of the Holy Spirit in the expression of this church. Sorry for looking over this way. This is where they tend to sit. So if more of you are over here, please forgive me. But Ken, I saw you stand there, mate. You'll lead that. You're called to lead that. But I encourage you, older generation, don't say we can now watch. No, you can now participate and be a part of this just as much as what God's going to do in the rest of the church. And that wave is coming. It didn't knock you over. It didn't make you all fall over. It just washed through you and empowered you with the Holy Spirit in a new and a fresh way. In fact, I felt to say to all of you that through that, gifts which you may have never seen before are going to start to rise up again. Gifts that maybe you have used but have been dormant for a little while, God wants to say, I want to raise that up again. I want you to use that gift in the expression of this church. Don't be scared of the gifts. Don't be scared of making a mistake. Don't be scared of going, what happens if I muck it up? Trust me, been there and done that, and I still do that sometimes prophetically. Sometimes I've given a word and I've walked away going, oh my goodness me, what did I say? I hope that was right, God. Sometimes it gets a bit scary, but I will do it because if God says to say something, I will speak it. And that's why, because God has called us all to do it, he wants to empower us as a church, and he has empowered us as a church to do that. I wish Chris was here this morning. Unfortunately, Chris and Graham are away on a well-deserved holiday. But the ladies who are going away on the retreat in a couple of weeks, I want to say this to you. I'm excited for what God wants to do that weekend. I've been praying for you, believe it or not. I have. Because I believe that God wants to release the spirit of prophecy on you that weekend. If I've got my facts right, if someone can help me, I think part of hearing the voice of God, is that what it is, Deb? Hearing the voice of God. What a fantastic topic. One of my favourite ones, to be honest. And I want to say to you, you will hear the voice of God. Why? Because God wants to speak to you through his Holy Spirit. And I know I preached on this last year, and I'll say it right now. Everybody hears the voice of God. Everybody will hear the voice of God. I'm not talking just to the ladies now, but all of you here as well. But you have to learn to recognise what the voice of God sounds like to you. How you hear the voice of God might be quite different to how I hear the voice of God, but it's still the voice of God speaking. Ladies, I encourage you that you will hear God speak that weekend. In fact, there's something I'll say to Chris next time I see her. But I pray that the spirit of prophecy will fall upon you all and you will prophesy over each other. You will give words to each other. And that through that you'll be strengthened and will grow in the truth of who Jesus is. And that you can and will do all things through Christ who strengthens you. As I've been preparing for this morning, I felt God wanted me to pray for two groups of people. The first group was this. I felt that God showed me that there's people sitting here this morning and you need a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit. The well is a bit dry. We've all been there, done that, myself included. We go through those times in our life where the world does seem to dry up. Life does seem to suck it out of us. And I feel God wants me to give an opportunity for you to respond and say, yeah, I need a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit in my life this day. Not now, but I'm going to ask you to stand up. Not to embarrass you. It's not about embarrassment. I'd love you to stand up so I can know who I'm praying for. I'm going to ask different people, if you see someone up standing near you, to go and just lay your hands on their shoulder, just so they know someone else is there. I'm going to pray that the Holy Spirit will come and touch you afresh. And the expression of the Holy Spirit will be released within you once again. The Holy Spirit's still there. You just need a refreshing of the Holy Spirit in your life. But the second group of people I felt God show me was this. There's some people here, and you've sat here, or you've sat in church maybe all your life, or for a certain period of time. You love God, you believe in God, but you've never actually had a personal encounter with His Holy Spirit. God wants you to have an encounter with His Holy Spirit in a way you've never had it before. That you will understand who the Holy Spirit and start to see the power of the Holy Spirit in your own life. The baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues is just as relevant today as it was back then. And we saw it expressed this morning. I had someone say to me once a number of years ago, oh, Mike, do you still speak in tongues? I don't do that anymore. That's true. I have to admit, I actually looked at them shocked and I wasn't trying to put them down, but I said, why? If you've never had an experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, never had that release of tongues, I'd ask you as well just to stand up. I'm not going to come and pray for each of you individually. I can't do that. But we're just going to pray that God would come and touch your life afresh. That you would experience what the power of the Holy Spirit, what Acts 2 is talking about in your life. My heart this morning, church, is to encourage you but to challenge us all. That we would continue to press into Jesus like Graham has been talking about through the Holy Spirit. That we'd allow the truth of Jesus to be spoken to us through His Holy Spirit. And that's exactly what God wants to do. I pray one day that we're going to have 100 of the balloons floating at the back of the room there. As not just young people, but everybody of all generations would come to know the truth of Jesus through this church and through many churches across the land. I pray that the truth of Jesus will come through people stand up here and saying, Jesus healed and touched my life. And it is happening right now, but it will continue to happen even more and more. Remember that picture God gave us last year and I shared about that line of black people, and they're all covered in black walking into the church. And as they walked into the church, they got hit with the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray, God, bring it on now. I want to see this local community, as I'm sure you do, impact with the truth of the name of Jesus in their lives. And that's what's going to happen through the Holy Spirit. Can I just have a keyboardist come up and just play for a second? Actually, all the musicians, you might come and join us. And maybe just the keyboard to start with, Andy, so it's not too loud, mate. If you know and you feel like you need a touch of the Holy Spirit, I'm just going to ask you right now, just to stand up in your chairs. I'm not saying it to be asking you to be embarrassed. Thank you. But if you know you need that Holy Spirit in your life afresh, just stand up where you are. If you see people around you, please, can you just go and stand with them? Don't ask them any questions. Just let them know someone's there with them. That's what church is about. It's family. If you'd like to stand up, it's still not too late. Please don't be shy. Church, we are in a new season. We are in a season where God has poured out His Spirit and wants to express His Holy Spirit through you and I. Church, we are the hands and feet of Jesus to this generation. We are the voice of God to this nation. And this nation desperately needs to hear God. This nation's confused. It's looking for leadership, and it's not finding it. It's looking for truth, but it's been deceived. But the truth is in us through Jesus.
And that truth through the Holy Spirit is going to impact people's lives in this nation. And though we might be challenged with it, though we might be tested with it, they will never be able to say Jesus is not Lord, because the Word says Jesus is the King of kings and Lord of lords. Let us not look at it in fear, but let us look at it with grace and the love of Jesus, and then the knowledge that Jesus is going to use us. He wants to use us in every way he can. There's gifts, and I'm repeating myself now, but I'll finish. But there's people here with gifts God is going to release. I say that prophetically. The expression of those gifts is going to start to have opportunity to come out. Let the Holy Spirit do it. Because as you do, you will bless this church and you will cause this church to keep their eyes on Jesus. That's what the gift's about, to keep our eyes on Jesus, to point people back to Jesus. Father, I thank you for this church. I thank you for every church in this nation. God, you poured out your Spirit on the day of Pentecost. You fulfilled the work of the cross on that day. You released the power of the new covenant upon the new first century church with signs and wonders, with the power of your Holy Spirit. And your Spirit has never been withdrawn from this world since. Your Spirit is still here. I pray right now, Lord, for those who stood, Father, that you would come and touch them right now, Holy Spirit. You would come and minister them, refresh them again with the power and the revelation of what the Holy Spirit is to them. I pray that, God, as they walk out from this place, they will know that, Holy Spirit, you have touched their life and you continue to touch their lives. For those who may be standing because they've never experienced the power of your Holy Spirit through the baptism, I pray that, God, you would come and baptize them right now in the name of Jesus. Release the gift of tongues upon their life, I pray, God, that, Father, they could use that heavenly language to worship and to press into you, Jesus. And, God, I pray for all of us as a church. All of us as a church, Father. I pray that we as a church would continue to keep Jesus on the throne, as I know we will. But we will continue to say, Holy Spirit, lead us in the what you have us to do into the future. Lead us in the children's ministry. Lead us in the youth ministry. Lead us in the older ministry. Lead us in every express of this church, through the school, everything, Holy Spirit, we pray. But lead us with your power and with your might. We ask this, Father, not that we would build our church, but God, we would build your church. And that this nation and this community directly would be able to say, Jesus is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. Jesus is our healer. Jesus is our provider. Jesus is our deliverer. We pray all this, Father, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, your word will never return unto you void, Father. It will accomplish that for which it was sent. We thank you, God, for the work of the cross. We thank you that, Jesus, you are everything. And I pray that we continue to stir that each and every day. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.